our current price point for sustainable aviation fuels, the only product we offer, we're currently more competitive in the region than Jet A. And that's probably a different conversation about really getting the details of an important aspect of being a value-driven organization. And when you think about the large airlines or other big airports, public, private, majority of the big airports are, you know, public entities, is that rather than being a transactional organization that's just worried about the bottom line of the dollar, you have to be more of a value-driven organization, identify what's more important to the community and the impact you're having locally and globally.
Welcome to Sustainability in the Air, the world's first podcast dedicated to sustainable aviation. I'm your host, Shashank Nigam, the CEO of Simply Flying. Every Thursday, I have important conversations with top aviation executives, technology entrepreneurs, and policymakers helping aviation take climate action. Conversations that help separate the signal from the noise. Whether you are a frequent flyer or an airline executive, if you care about sustainability or simply love traveling, welcome aboard.
My guest today is Rob Etnayer. Rob is the CEO of Truckee Tahoe Airport, an airport that you might not have heard about, but it is truly punching above its weight. It is an airport, small little one, that caters to general aviation and business aviation in California that is possibly the world's first airport to have only sustainable aviation fuel for its customers and no Jet A fuel at all. I speak to Rob about his journey, why he's taken such a bold step, what were the challenges, and what's next.
Rob, thank you so much for joining in. I believe you're the CEO of the smallest airport I have had on this show. Not many people will be familiar with Truckee Tahoe Airport. Would you please share with us who you serve, which airlines and customers operate out of Truckee, and what's your vision?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me on. The Truckee Tahoe Airport, we use the call sign KTRK very commonly. We're a special airport district in California. We're a general aviation airport. We're located just north of Lake Tahoe, about 15 miles in the Sierra Nevada mountain range, which is about 4 hours, 3 to 4 hours drive time from the San Francisco Bay Area, which is kind of our front range market of customers that come and go out of here, both in the airport and in ground transportation. In this area of the airport district, as a special airport district in California, there's about 50,000 residents, with about half of those homes, close to half, being second homes. Second home visitation is significant here throughout the year. One of the biggest draws other than Lake Tahoe and the Sierra Nevada mountain range for this area and for us is the ski resorts in this area. It's the highest concentration of ski resorts in the United States here on the north side of Lake Tahoe. As an airport, we do about 35,000 operations a year, which makes us on the medium size of small general aviation airports with two runways. Our main customers here are locally Mountain Lion Aviation, Sierra Aero Aviation, NetJets, Surf Air, FlexJets, Wheels Up, and Solaris are our primary aviation customers coming in and out of the airport here.
Some of them I'm definitely familiar with, like NetJets and Surf Air. Now, the reason you're here and the reason we are talking, of course, is 100% SAF. Truckee Tahoe Airport is possibly the first airport in the world to offer only SAF. You do not have jet fuel at the airport. That means anyone, any aircraft that is flying in to Truckee Tahoe is putting SAF in the engine or, you know, in the fuel tank. Why the big step as opposed to a gradual path to increase SAF like most of the airports?
Yeah, that's a great question. We made a decision some time ago, probably before 2022 to start transitioning to sustainable aviation fuel. And as we saw over the last couple of years, as we were starting to make that early transition to just 10% of our fuel sales being SAF, we started seeing the large wildfires in the area and the wildfire impact of smoke. You know, literally the man-made impact of climate change here in our local community. We also had a lot of public and private entities come together in a group called the Climate Transformation Alliance, really engaging the local greater community in the conversation about reducing greenhouse gas emissions, CO2 emissions. And as a result of those conversations and the wildfires going on, as an airport, we begin to look at, you know, what can we do to be a part of this conversation here at the airport? And of course, for an airport, our biggest emissions are our scope 3 emissions, which is our sale of jet fuel. Here at Truckee Tile Airport, we sell about 500,000 gallons annually of jet fuel. So looking at that, we began to, you know, really analyze, you know, what more can we do? And we started looking at that 10% number that we were buying of sustainable aviation fuel and really breaking down the supply chain, the price point, the availability of the product. And we quickly came to understand that there was a greater opportunity for adoption of sustainable aviation fuel at a much more aggressive pace.
You know, what's interesting there is this context that in California, you were one of the few entities that were really impacted by the wildfires. I previously had, for example, the CEO of Fiji Airways talk about how they were impacted by climate change. But I don't think a lot of people think about wildfires impacting the local residents. And this climate committee is interesting. Tell me a bit more about this. Who is part of it? How did that come across?
Yeah, the Climate Transformation Alliance is a group of public and nonprofit private entities. It's the airport district. It's the town of Truckee. It's the local public utility district as kind of the core group of folks, along with the Sierra Nevada Business Council, a nonprofit, and a number of, you know, very engaged individuals in the community, starting hosting and collaborating together on this conversation of what's going on, what do we want to do collectively, what are we doing individually, and how do we quantify that to share the information about what's going on to our community and what we're doing about it around climate and transformation, CO2 emissions specifically.
Interesting. And the airport, I'm assuming, is part of this committee.
This we are. We're one of the founding members of this committee and are helping advance the conversation with this community and constantly inviting more members in, speaker series, challenge programs.
Okay. Now, SAF, sustainable aviation fuel, I know we are saying 100% SAF. That is because you do not have jet fuel in the airport. You have only sustainable aviation fuel. But sustainable aviation fuel today can only have a 30-70 blend or a 50-50 blend. I believe legally mandated maximum is 50-50 blend, but you maintain a 30-70 blend. How does that work? Why not actually have a 50-50?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, in the U.S., or I think the standard, the ASTM standard is 50-50. We are currently buying roughly a 30-70 blend of SAF, the neat, pure SAF product with Jet A blended together. So it's a good question because we're still early in the process of socialization of what the term sustainable aviation fuel or SAF even is. So we want to be careful not to over-advertise that we're 100% sustainable aviation fuel. There's been some recent flights around the world that are really pure SAF, 100% that are flying. That's not what we're offering in the supply chain available right now in California, where we buy our SAF from. The blend has varied from 35% to 65% neat product blended with Jet A to where we're currently at 26 to 74%. So there's a range of roughly 30-70, 30% neat SAF with 70% Jet A blended together. is what's available. And of course, the blending happens at these refineries or at the blending facilities, host refinery, that's blending about 100,000 gallons at a time, these gigantic tanks. And so we, as one buyer out of off that tank, only can influence so much of what the blend percentage is. So on average, we get a blend percentage around 30-70 right now.
Okay, so that means you're just getting what is available, which makes complete sense. Where do you get your SAF from? Is this from California? Who's producing it? What are the details there?
Yeah, Neste is the provider of the neat product of SAF for that we buy currently. They're out of Finland, but they operate out of refine in Indonesia and both in Texas also. They ship that refined product to the West Coast, California, to the Crockett Terminal outside the Bay Area here. NuStar Energy actually takes that neat product and blends it based on request with Jet A SAF, and that's where we buy it from.
How does the SAF get to you? It's trucked up, right? That was my next question.
Facility NuStar, which is about 3.5-4 hours away, we have it trucked up here on a weekly basis based on our needs seasonally.
So you mentioned a point earlier, which I really want to dig into, which is sustainable aviation fuel truly sustainable? So if you are using the SAF 30-70 blend, what is the overall reduction in emissions for aircraft that are flying out of your airport? Have you done some calculations there?
Yeah, with the blend that we're buying, which has a feedstock, I could talk about that separately. It's the 30-70 blend has an estimated 23% kilograms of CO2 per gallon reduction compared to normal Jet A. So for our purchase and sale of roughly 500,000 gallons of jet fuel, blended SAF, a year, that's about 1 million kilograms of CO2 reduction per year just by the shift of a 70-30 blend of SAF, which is pretty significant.
That is significant, and I'm not sure if many airports can claim those numbers, just because I don't think a lot of airports are doing this so regularly. Do you know, maybe this is a Neste question more than a Truckee Tahoe Airport question, do you know what pathway this SAF comes from? Is this waste oils, or is this cooking oils? Is this corn? Is this something else?
That's a great question. It's been part of our detailed investigation as we've moved into this world of increasing our SAF percentage is the only thing we sell. It's important to us to know exactly what that feedstock is, what the life cycle carbon reduction actually is, doing the metrics around it. So for what we're buying from Neste, it is a tallow-based feedstock, which is animal fats, animal waste that is refined and created in a neat SAF product that we are purchasing that's blended with traditional Jet A fuel.
Okay, I'm glad you did this research, by the way, that you have the numbers behind as well. Let's talk a little about cost. There's always this question about who pays for making aviation sustainable. We do know that sustainable aviation fuel, even in California, costs more than Jet A. How much more expensive is it? And what has been the response from your customers?
In general, we've had a mixed response. And I'd say from a price perspective, in general, in California, where we're at, which is pretty sourced to the majority of the supply in California, in the U.S. right now, the markup is about 20% over traditional Jet A fuel. I'll say that on average, without taxes and everything else, our markup of the individual airports that are their margin. The reception of that, I would say overall from the majority of operators in and out of the airport has been great. I think the vast majority of operators embrace the concept of being more environmentally responsible, buying a SAF product for their operations makes sense. We do have a handful of folks that are very, price sensitive on the exact price point. And in general, most folks are price sensitive about, is it really 20% more I'm going to pay just to feel good about stuff? Well, that's where we spent a little time in this process this last year, moving from a 10% to a 25% to a 50% to only providing blended SAF, kind of moving through that range of price points and understanding from our suppliers what that price point really is. And is it consistent? Is the supply chain consistent? And then once we realize what that's going to be, what we can we do in the way of margin or markup and addressing that for our different customer base to address their specific sensitivities around pricing particularly.
This is interesting that you mentioned it's only 20% more expensive, because I've heard figures of anywhere from 2x to 8x more expensive than Jet A, depending on where you are getting this SAF. So firstly, it's 20% more expensive. That's cheap when it comes to the SAF terms. What are the customers saying who say, oh, you know, why should I pay more for fuel, regardless of what kind of fuel it is? Do they go elsewhere? What's been, how do you respond to those customers who say, this is, you know, you're trying to price gouge me?
My response, and I think not just my, but our airport response to our customers kind of runs the gamut of the spectrum of individual conversations with the actual operator who owns the aircraft and is flying and hangared here at the airport, to large corporate operations that are flying it out here, like NetJets or Solaris. Those conversations vary, and depending on who you're talking to. If I'm talking to the operator that's locally based here, we have a very specific conversation about, because we have a little more time typically, about what is the full cycle carbon reduction, life cycle carbon reduction of the actual product. What is the price point that we are charging? And does it make sense for them to tanker in and out of here, which is where you fuel up somewhere else and fly into your home airport, or fly somewhere else to get fuel? What is the actual cost of doing that? And is there a way we can modify our price point for our local tenants to address that difference, to find that sweet spot of pricing that it's more than Jet A, but it's less than a 20 or 30% markup with margin for the airport? So that conversation varies, all to say, in general. And we try to find, for those that are very price sensitive but want the benefits of it, to those who are less price sensitive who also want the benefits of the attributes of the SAF product itself.
Now, I'm just going to dig a little deeper into this. Now you have already explained who your customers are. This is a private aviation airport, and business aviation or private aviation is targeted by climate activists who say, oh, you're emitting 30 times as much as if you would have flown an economy class seat on the same route. How do you think private aviation can play a role, and do you see this from your customers, in making aviation sustainable?
A great question. We serve a private aviation audience, a general aviation audience, a business aviation audience here. We're actually a public entity as an airport district. So we have a tax base from our residents in the district, and we also make revenue from our operations. So it's important to us as an airport district to serve the responsibility goals of our district. And much like corporations have environmental, social, and governance ESG goals associated with probably most of our customers, whether business or private aviation, most all have looked at their social or environmental responsibility. We look at that as an airport district as well. And for us, it's just as important to serve our shareholders, our district residents here, as it is for them to serve their corporate shareholders. So with their ESG policy looks for opportunities to be more responsible in the environmental segment for their private aviation operations. So I think there's an alignment there that we're finding the needs of the private aviation industry, the corporate aviation industry coming in out here, and the needs of our airport district and what's important to both shareholders. Our community members.
I'm glad to hear that there's alignment. Let's talk about the community members. Who are these community members, and what has been the response from the community that Truckee support?
So community members here at our airport district is roughly 50,000 residents. We have a publicly elected board of directors of five that those members in the community vote on for 3-year terms, and they represent the interests of the community. So beyond just the elected representatives expressing what their constituents, what's valuable to the constituents, we regularly engage with the community in conversations like the Climate Transformation Alliance or other community outreach tools about surveying and understanding what are the important attributes of an airport district to the community. What do they want to get out of, and how do they see us as being responsible as an airport district within a residential resort environment, essentially. So it's an ongoing conversation about prioritizing the needs of the community.
I'm glad that you're in touch with the community, because for a small airport, community is definitely very important. Rob, what's been the biggest challenge that you had to overcome in getting 200% SAF?
The biggest challenge is in detail working with the supply chain and identifying the source of the product and being able to get the product from the NuStar terminal where we get it from currently to our airport. And the competition around folks buying it or just physically getting it on the time that you need it, just in time fueling shipments, really working out the details with our long-haul carrier or trucking company of how we can do that better, the timing of when we order and when it's delivered. That was probably the biggest challenge to overcome, which is really geeky and in the details, but it made all the difference of just cracking the code on when we are ordering our fuel and when it's being shipped here. We don't have the benefit of a pipeline or being located next to a rail system that has massive tank farms next to us. So we really have to get into the precise human logistics of when is that guy in the truck sitting and waiting in line at 2 a.m. to get the truck fueled ahead of everybody else so we can get it to us on the day that we need it.
Resupply our tanks. Were there any challenges in pushback from certain parts of the organization or community or customers? Were there pushbacks on your initiative?
There are definitely a lot of feedback early on when we started moving the price point of our fuel, which represented, moving from, 75% to 100% or blended SAF only. And a lot of local jet tenant conversations for about, we have around 30 operators here that are locally based jet operators that we're seeing the price point increase. And really having very detailed conversations of how we can mitigate the impact of that, being more responsible as an organization of not just trying to take a profit on our local tenants particularly.
What is next for Truckee Tahoe Airport? Are you planning to support electric aircraft in the future or hydrogen hybrid aircraft in the future? Because, yes, you are starting with SAF, but that's what's next.
I think what's next for us is really staying deep on our sustainable aviation fuel position that we're at now and looking how we can help the general aviation industry across the U.S. understand how to make this transition and even how to increase our blend percentage. I think we have a lot of road ahead of us on really getting deep and understanding how we can influence moving to our 50-50 blend, for example, or how the general aviation community that is far away from California can benefit and learn from our lessons that we're happy to share as a public entity here with them about pricing or about community outreach, stakeholder outreach. The other major thing we're going to work on here is this transition from 100 low-lead fuel to an unleaded fuel for our smaller aircraft to operate in and out of private aviation airports. The small piston aircraft. And there's a lot of important work being done on finding unleaded solutions for that product ahead.
How are you working with other airports of your size in pushing the sustainable aviation agenda forward? I believe you're part of this community of small airports that talk to each other, isn't it?
We do. We have there's a loose affiliation, I'll call it, of resort airports across the U.S. that there's probably 10 of us now that get together on quarterly conference calls and talk about the impact and the opportunities that we're seeing in the general aviation industry and how we can learn from each other, and just really information sharing, which is, you know, the first step into wider adoption of something like sustainable aviation fuel across the country.
I'm guessing resort airports. So am I likely to see a sustainable aviation fuel truck parked at Aspen anytime soon?
I think you can find it there right now. they're moving in that direction.
Now, since we are looking at airports, and of course you're a small airport serving a very niche market, but you've taken the first step. You are literally the first airport in the world to have only SAF available for its clients rather than pure jet fuel. What can large airports learn from your journey till now?
Ironically, our current price point for sustainable aviation fuels, the only product we offer, we're currently more competitive in the region than Jet A. And that's probably a different conversation about really getting the details of an important aspect of being a value-driven organization. And when you think about the large airlines or other big airports, public, private, majority of the big airports are, you know, public entities, is that rather than being a transactional organization that's just worried about the bottom line of the dollar, you have to be more of a value-driven organization, identify what's more important to the community and the impact you're having locally and globally with your operations. And sometimes market-based solutions are not an immediate pathway to change. And the assistance of involvement of the airport districts, the airports themselves, and helping identify what the value-based proposition of their movement into sustainable aviation fuel, where that price point should be, and not just trying to maximize profit constantly, could be a shift in how we think about not just putting the burden of change on the consumer.
Did you just say to me that the SAF at your airport is cheaper than Jet A at some of the large airports?
We're currently, on today's date, $8 a gallon for sustainable aviation fuel. The price point for Jet A is over $9 right now at comparable airports within flying distance, short flying distance of us right now.
Wow. That's all about, okay.
It's all about margin and markup, the profit margin.
There's a strong message. There's a strong message. I think I would like to congratulate you on not just taking a bold step that you have taken, but also being a values-driven organization and not just marking up 20% of whatever the Jet A fuel around you is going at to maintain your margins. I'm glad you're doing that. And I do hope to see continued good response from your customers and hopefully more airports in the region who are following your lead. Rob, the final part of this interview is what I call the rapid fire round, in which the listeners get to know you a bit more personally. So there's simple questions like, what's your favorite book?
Oh, great. Ayn Rand, Atlas Shrugged, no question.
We start easy. How about your favorite movie?
It's an older classic, I'll call it, is Breaker Morant, which is a story about Australian soldiers working for the British Empire down in Africa during the Boer Wars.
Wow. Okay. I was not familiar with it. I will definitely check it out. What's your favorite city?
Sapporo, Japan. I've always enjoyed that area. A little bit of Alpine and Asian culture combined. It's really unique.
Okay. What about your favorite airline?
My favorite airline, I don't know if I have a favorite, to be honest. It's probably one that's being environmentally responsible, both to its employees and to the environment.
Does anyone come to mind who does that?
I don't know if there's a leader of the pack right now.
Okay.
There's opportunity for them to grow.
What is something that you want to learn, Rob?
I would love to relearn probably my loose ability to speak Vietnamese.
Okay. Languages are definitely popular on this podcast. What do you do in your free time?
Oh, my free time, you probably find me out with my dogs, my huskies in the backcountry skiing or hiking on a regular basis.
How many huskies do you have?
I have three.
Wow, that's a handful. That's a handful. Yes. And finally, Rob, what is the best advice you have received?
Oh, the best advice. It was some time ago. It was something along the lines of lead from the front doesn't mean that you're doing things alone. It means you're working with the team to lead.
Nice. Fantastic.
Words of that effect.
I have one last... that's a really good advice. I have one last question. If we are speaking in 1 year from now and we are popping champagne, what are we celebrating?
We're celebrating the 100% transition of unleaded fuel here from our current leaded fuel, which will be an industry first for the U.S.
Okay. Well, good luck on that journey, Rob. I do wish you all the best. And thank you for sharing the exciting journey with us, getting to 100% SAF. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for hosting this.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Sustainability in the Air. Aviation is one of the hardest to decarbonize industries, yet there are multiple paths to get to net zero. Awareness is key to a green future. So please give us your support to help our sustainable aviation insights reach a wider audience. You can do this by sharing this episode on your network, on LinkedIn, Twitter, or even WhatsApp. Or perhaps you might consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to this episode. You can start a conversation with us by writing to us at podcast@simplifying.com. And for more content on sustainable aviation, please visit our website, green.simplifying.com, and join the movement. Sustainability in the Air is an original podcast by Simplifying. The show is produced by Juraj Torf in Slovakia. Dirk Singer is our Director of Sustainability, who leads research for each interviewee out of Greenwich, UK. Shubhadeep Pal is our supervising editor based out of Mumbai and Singapore. The articles are written by Ayushi Badola in Dehradun in India and Meera Hull in Montreal, Quebec. Creative design is led by Ligia Esteve in Montreal. Baiba Dreamen is the project director for the show based out of Valencia, Spain. Special thanks to Wendy Sim in Singapore. And I'm Shashank Nigam, the CEO of Simplifying and your host. Please feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn.